This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Activists engaged in stopping the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline are claiming a temporary victory after the U.S. Justice Department and Army Corps of Engineers announced it would ask the company involved in the pipeline construction to stop. Indigenous communities led by the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe have been occupying an area near the Cannonball River in North Dakota since April, and their actions have now garnered international attention. There are solidarity protests taking place in cities all over the U.S. under the banner of hashtag NoDAPL. Meanwhile, many are demanding justice for the recent attacks by security guards and their dogs at the pipeline site, caught on video and photos. North Dakota has issued arrest warrants for Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein and journalist and Democracy Now! Host Amy Goodman. My guest is Tara Hauska. She is the National Campaigns Director of the group Honor the Earth. She's an attorney based in Washington, D.C., and a former Native American advisor to the Bernie Sanders campaign. Welcome to the show, Tara.
Thank you for having me.
So can you explain whether or not what the U.S. government has done in the Dakota Access Pipeline is really a victory? I understand that they're asking for the company to do a voluntary stoppage of the construction, but it's not clear if construction has stopped.
Yeah, actually, there were 17 people so far arrested this morning at an active construction site. What the federal government has actually done is just suspended construction underneath the river. And so they've asked the company to voluntarily cease construction 20 miles on either side of it. But meanwhile, the company has, you know, continued to construct all the way up to that 20-mile radius and, you know, is going with the overall intent of getting this pipeline in the ground. The government has actually not rejected anything. It's just simply said it's going to reassess prior permitting.
Does even that step, however, indicate a victory, the result of months of organizing and arrests by Indigenous activists?
Absolutely. I mean, this is it may be not a victory in the sense of it stopping the pipeline. However, it's a huge victory for Indigenous organizing and showing that, you know, these folks on the ground are making a huge impact to the extent of the White House actually hearing and doing something about it and listening to what Indigenous people are requesting.
Now, there are some reports that have suggested that the pipeline construction pathway led to under the Missouri River because wealthier farmers in the area basically decided that they didn't want the pipeline going through their area. And so the pipeline, the company Energy Transfer, has sort of been working with wealthier landowners and thought that they could simply violate the rights, treaty rights of the Standing Rock Sioux. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, the pipeline was actually originally routed to go through Bismarck, and that decision was actually scrapped in favor of putting this pipeline within a half a mile of the reservation boundaries. This is a, you know, classic and clear-cut case of environmental racism, which is that a project of this nature can go through a community of color that's typically not represented in the mainstream, and that it would go through without, you know, really much of a fuss. And clearly, this company also seemed to think that it could get away with egregious human rights violations in the form of attacking Native Americans, protecting their sacred sites with dogs and with mace. They seem to think that that would be okay, and instead the entire world is now watching.
And there have been attempts online by people who've been watching the photographs of the vicious dog attacks to identify the security guards involved. Initially, there were reports that G4S, the international security firm, was involved, but they released a statement saying that it wasn't their employees. How important is it to hold those guards and, you know, the fact that they used dogs as weapons, to hold them accountable?
I think it's pretty insane that we're seeing, instead of, you know, these human rights violations and use of excessive force being prosecuted by the North Dakota police were actually on site, not doing anything, just standing there watching. And instead, we're seeing the North Dakota police targeting folks for criminal trespass and looking through social media videos to identify protesters, you know, sending out an arrest warrant for Amy Goodman, who is one of the reporters on site, recording what was happening. And instead of actually going after folks that committed egregious violations against people.
That's right. There's been a warrant issued for the arrest of Amy Goodman. Also, there's been a warrant issued for Green Party candidate, presidential candidate Jill Stein, because of photographs of her essentially involved in what they're saying, defacing the construction equipment. She was invited to do that, and she's being charged with several misdemeanors. But I'm assuming that Amy Goodman and Jill Stein are not the first people that have been slapped with these sorts of charges, right?
No, not at all. I mean, as I said, there were 17 protesters this morning that were arrested. You know, folks are continually being arrested on the ground, and now they've started to go back through social media videos. Like I said, Cody Hall, the spokesperson for Red Warrior Camp, which is a direct action, nonviolent camp that's just a grassroots organization that's formed out of this encampment of people that want to stop this pipeline. He was actually arrested just last Friday and held over the weekend and charged with two criminal trespass charges. And I guess this morning actually was arrested again.
Now, Tara, President Obama was in Laos when over the weekend. And while he was there speaking at a local university, a Laotian woman asked him, incredibly asked him, and had the chance to question him about the Dakota Access Pipeline. Here's a clip of what she said and what his response was.
I'm from the state of Sabah in Malaysia. My question is in solidarity of with the indigenous people in not my country but in America itself. I just heard recently that this group of people is fighting to protect their ancestral land against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Yeah, so my question is, what in your capacity, what can you do to ensure the protection of the ancestral land, the supply of clean water, and also environmental justice is upheld?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. As many of you know, the way that Native Americans were treated was tragic. And one of the priorities that I've had as president is restoring an honest and generous and respectful relationship with Native American tribes.
And that is President Obama responding to a Laotian woman about the Dakota Access Pipeline protest. Tara, what do you make of his response? He's basically saying, rather than answering the question, he made the case for how his administration, rather than any other administration or compared to any other administration, has done more for Native Americans than, you know, than in a long time.
And, you know, President Obama is considered one of the greatest presidents in history towards tribal nations. He started several initiatives that directly help, you know, Native American education. He's worked very hard to actually push forward a budget that fully funds our programs, which is unfortunately never actually, you know, carried through by Congress in appropriations, but, you know, has worked very hard to elevate indigenous rights in this country and has actually visited the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation while, you know, actively president. And so this is really a question of, with this kind of level of commitment and with actually going out and seeing the people that are now fighting this incredibly destructive project that threatens their drinking water, what is President Obama going to do? You know, what kind of legacy is he going to leave? And, you know, where does he stand on these issues of indigenous, basically protection of their most, this is sacred sites, this is drinking water, this is the right of our children to survive. This is, you know, seventh generation is what we're talking about here. And, you know, if this commitment is so deep to Indian country, we're really hopeful that he takes a stand before he leaves office and, you know, rejects, orders the Army Corps of Engineers to reject the permits that they've granted when they reassess them.
Right, because it's not anymore just about the pipeline impacting Native lands, sacred lands. It's about the pipeline in general as well. People have joined in and basically said no to pipelines in general and no to a reliance on fossil fuels, right? It's a bigger issue.
This is a far bigger issue. And this is also an issue of Indigenous rights. You know, Native people are often left out of the conversation. And, you know, we see now the opening of this process to actually say, oh, are we really including Indigenous rights and considerations into these projects when we approve them? You know, this is a continued trend of allowing Native American people to be out of sight, out of mind, and have these projects go through our backyards and to have man camps, you know, thousands and thousands of workers that flood into these small areas next to reservations, knowing that one in three Native American women are raped in her lifetime, knowing that we are actually jurisdictionally unable to prosecute non-Native offenders in the way that any other state in this country is allowed to. We don't share the same rights as every other U.S. citizen, and that is something that we're saying enough. Enough is enough. That's why hundreds and hundreds of tribal nations have come from all over. They know how this feels to watch an extractive industry project go through their homelands. They know how it feels to fight one. And we all know that, you know, water is life. This is not just an indigenous issue at the same time. This is an issue of all people, the 17 million people along the Missouri River who rely on that river for drinking water.
And while this protest movement led by the Standing Rock Sioux tribe has been going on since April, it's only really in the last month or so that it's garnered so much more attention, although the mainstream media still seems to be mostly ignoring it. And this week, starting last week, going through this week, our massive solidarity protests happening around the country. I know that you're on your way to speak at a rally alongside Bernie Sanders in front of the White House. But how important are these solidarity protests and rallies that are happening around the country, not just in tribal areas, in urban areas? Black Lives Matter activists, folks from Flint, Michigan are expressing solidarity. Is that crucial?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely crucial because this is, as I said, this is not just an indigenous issue. And at the same time, we should be looking at, you know, just like that woman asked in Laos, look in your own backyards. How are we treating indigenous people? We are the original citizens of this country, and this is happening. This is a violation of human rights. It's a violation of, you know, the original peoples that have been here since before the founding of America. We are all on Indian lands. We are all here because of, you know, the negotiations that happen between tribal nations, our tribal nations, and the federal government. And a lot of those, obviously, we know are broken treaties. We know that those negotiations were done under duress. And so to have this treatment still going on, it's something that needs to not only be an indigenous issue, this is a human being issue. This is all of us that should care about how every single person in this country is treated. Just like Black Lives Matter is asking, they want the same rights as everybody else. It's not okay that people are targeted by the police that are of color. It's not okay that we are a less percentage of the population, yet our people die more than any other. That's no longer okay, and it never has been. And so we're hoping that, you know, with all these solidarity actions, that all these different movements can come together, because we're all saying enough is enough, that this treatment is not acceptable, and it's something that America needs to really, really consider and reflect on how we want to portray ourselves to the world as this great nation, and we should be this great nation, but instead we're allowing these things to happen within our own borders.
Finally, Tara, how can people express solidarity who are not in North Dakota? I understand that there have been several sort of crowdfunding campaigns or several attempts to take supplies up to the Sacred Stone camp. What do you recommend?
You know, I think we do really need folks on the ground. This is going to come down to a numbers game. We've got $1 billion industry, you know, multi-billion-dollar industry that's wanting to get this pipeline project in, that's invested millions and millions of dollars into it. That's still, you know, this morning, I mean, if you look at the photographs that are going to come out, we've got, you know, military assault rifles and police in full riot gear protecting these sites from indigenous protectors. So we need folks on the ground. But if you can't actually be in North Dakota, you know, there are ways to send funding through GoFundMe. You can look at Sacred Stone Camp. You could look at Red Warrior Camp. Otherwise, you know, there's also just expressing solidarity and talking to your congresspersons, talking to the president, making those calls as a constituent, showing solidarity throughout the nation that this is not okay. We're not going to let this happen to indigenous people. And it should never be happening, really. I mean, we should not be having these projects one by one threaten all these different communities. We should be looking at renewable industry and things that benefit the people and not corporations. We have the technology to move past fossil fuels, and yet we're still allowing this entrenched industry to control our Congress, to control the infrastructure decisions we make, and that's not okay.
Tara, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you with your event with Bernie Sanders today.
Thank you.
My guest is Tara Hauska. She is the National Campaign's Director of Honor the Earth and an attorney based in Washington, D.C., former Native American advisor to the Bernie Sanders campaign. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews at risingupwithsonali.com as well as on iTunes and Vimeo.